In the holy name of Jesus, amen. When looking over this cemetery plot, I can't help but think how many of our loved ones who rest here had Psalm 23 read at their funeral or burial. There's a good reason why Psalm 23 is a common staple to comfort the mourning, because God shows himself to be with those who die. They don't die alone. Verse 4 comforts the living with this care shown from God. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Coincidentally and fittingly, our memorial service, usually scheduled for the first Sunday in May, falls on Good Shepherd Sunday, which is always the third week after Easter. And on a day like today, there's no better way to remember our Good Shepherd than to look out upon the tombstones of his sheep. The tombstones of these faithful testify to the work of the Good Shepherd. Look out behind me. What do you see? Where has the Good Shepherd led his sheep? If we didn't know any better, we'd say that there's no difference in where we'll all end up one day. That whether we follow the voice of the Good Shepherd or the voice of the hired hand or the voice of the very wolves themselves, we're all led to the same place with the same result. That's to say, one day we'll all be buried 6 feet underground. One day, Christian or non-Christian, we'll all die. If we didn't know any better, we'd say it didn't matter what guided us in our lives. Didn't matter if we read scriptures and prayed at home with our families. Didn't matter that we're more influenced by the voices of politicians and wise sayings. Didn't matter if I've been guided by my own inner voice, making my own teachings my own way. Because ultimately, we'll all be here. We'll all be dead. Again, if we didn't know any better, we'd say that Christ isn't that good of a shepherd. Where's the green pastures? Where's the still waters? Where's the righteous paths? Where's the feasting table? Where's God's goodness and mercy? The promises of Psalm 23 must be a sham. The valley of the shadow of death seems more near than any of God's peace-filled gifts. At best, he's a spiritual shepherd. At worst, he's a phony. What I've just detailed is the teaching of the hired hand from John's gospel. The hired hand is the one who pretends to care, but then does nothing to guide you away from danger. On the contrary, they guide you straight to it. The hired hands are those who preach a gospel other than the gospel of the scriptures. For example, they may teach works righteousness, or they may teach a prosperity gospel, blaming the believer for a lack of faith for not having green pastures and still waters in this life. But by these false teachings, one isn't ever to see the goodness of the Good Shepherd. Rather, they're led straight to the wolves, that is to Satan and his demons. The hired hands have nothing to say about death, because rescue from death isn't something they're preoccupied with. Rather, they set their minds on things of this temporary life, rather than the eternal things of heaven. They're preoccupied with saving their own skin rather than showing love by sacrifice. If you follow the wrong voice, the wrong teacher, maybe you'll think that the Good Shepherd hasn't led his sheep to anywhere special, because Christian and non-Christian alike will all be buried. But as we all well know, that's not the full story. That's the hopeless look at death, without the assurance of the work of the Good Shepherd. We may mourn at death, but we mourn with hope. from Jesus' teaching, he says that he's the good shepherd. And what makes him good isn't that he guides us to prosperous living. What makes him good isn't that he makes life smooth sailing for us. What makes him the good shepherd is that he lays down his life for the sheep. So the gospel text we usually associate with all the nice shepherd imagery, how Christ uses the crook of his staff to pull the sheep's clothes, or how Christ uses the pointy end of the staff to ward off the wolves, or other nice shepherdy stuff. This text is truly a text about death. It's a text about Jesus' death. The next verses after the end of the assigned reading makes it clear. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I laid down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This is truly comforting. This is truly something worth repeating. Jesus is the good shepherd, because he shows his love for the sheep by laying down his life for them. He throws himself to the wolves to get devoured, so the sheep go unscathed. And since our Lord has sacrificed his life for you, his sheep, since he has entered death and risen from the grave to defeat sin, death, and devil for you, our good shepherd has something to say to you about death. And this is what our good shepherd would have you know about the stark image you see behind me, about the lines of tombstones you see. The shepherd leads and guides us not to the grave, but through the grave. For only by the death of the shepherd can salvation be brought to the sheep. Only his death means anything for anyone else. The hired hands cannot lay down their lives for the sheep and save them. They'll be scared off by the wolves. The hired hands aren't willing to sacrifice themselves, and so their love for you is fruitless and has no gain. They weren't able to conquer Satan and defeat death for you, because they didn't have the authority to do so. They weren't there from the foundations of creation and brought life to the world. But Christ was. He brought life to the world at the Garden of Eden. He brought life to the world at the tree of the cross. And so too, he will bring life to the world at the resurrection of all flesh. For this reason, only Christ is the good shepherd. He is the only voice to which we should listen. There is no other shepherd who can do what Christ has done for you and for those buried here. He taught that true love requires sacrifice of self. By laying down his life for death, he grants life to us in death. So also we should sacrifice of ourselves, both to God and to our neighbor. We should sacrifice of our sinful desires and pleasures, our time and our idols, for the sake of God and his will. As he instructs us, so should we sacrifice of ourselves for the godly welfare of those around us, like our families, our close friends, those of the household of faith, and also for those looking to follow the voice of the Good Shepherd. By this we know Christ's true sacrificial love to the world. Though Christ has sacrificed his life, he has the authority to take it up again. This is the comfort for us as we remember those who lie at rest here, because he promises to give life to the bodies of all his children. And he will shepherd his sheep home at the bodily resurrection, bringing all believers to himself. And this is the assurance of hope that we have too. But also, Jesus has this exhortation for the living. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Now, talking to a Jewish audience, Jesus was talking about the Gentiles. The Gentiles are the sheep of another fold. But that's you. In John 10:4, Jesus says when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him. Christ's sheep listen to his voice. They listen and follow him, whatever his words of direction may be, because they trust him. They know he has their best interests in mind. Responding to where he guides is the challenge for us, the sheep. We don't always listen to what the Lord commands, even when it may be for our benefit. We're often like this. The other day, one of my foster dogs was barking in the backyard. And that's not completely unusual, but it was incessant. And so I went out to go check out the situation. She had cornered a copperhead snake in the corner, and she kept getting super close to it and wouldn't stop barking at it. And my first instinct was to grab a shovel and end the threat. But before I did that, I had to get the dog out of there. Calling her name, she wouldn't listen. I tried to get some treats, but she didn't come. I had to get a leash and drag her off inside. I didn't let her have what she wanted, because what she wanted was to bark at the face of danger. So out of love, I dragged her away from something that she wanted, but that could have killed her. If we were to get our way, live the life the way we wanted, then we may just be barking in the face of a copperhead snake. Listen to the voice of your shepherd in all things, all situations, because he has your best interests in mind. He's guiding you and shepherding you to green pastures and still waters. Listen to where he tells you to go. A part of listening to the shepherd's voice is dragging your ears to the places where he speaks to you. That means reading the Bible. That's where Christ promises to be, and the Holy Spirit leads you to hear Christ's voice through the texts of Scripture. Other voices aren't reliable. Other voices lead you away from Scripture, not towards it. Other voices tell you Scripture doesn't have the whole story, or that we need to understand it in a different way than the church has taught it for 2,000 years. If you keep listening to those voices, eventually you'll find yourself trusting people and not the very words of God. If you follow teachings and voices that conflict with Scripture, you're no longer listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd. You're listening to the voice of the hired hand. He has nothing to say to you about your greatest enemy, the grave. But by following the voice of the Good Shepherd, he's laid down his life for you. So be careful in this world. Examine who and what you listen to. In times of temptation and weakness, flee to the Scriptures to hear the voice of your shepherd. Recite your confirmation verse or some other verse of Scripture to yourself in times of trouble. And the Good Shepherd who's laid down his life for you will deliver you from the shadow of death to the pastures of heaven. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.